Hello, hello. Welcome back to Instant Classic. I'm DJ Pop Rock.
I'm DJ Mocha.
Yeah, we're excited for this new quarter. Happy New Year to everyone. Yeah, we have some fun movies we're going to watch. Mm-hmm. And this week, we watched Booksmart and Superbad, two, like, classic coming-of-age movies. But first we're going to kind of go over some of our favorite movies from last year, our rankings, some fun stuff, because it was a good year for movies, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Good year for movies. Started the show last year, so we're watching even more movies. Okay, well, so my Letterboxd does not want to load, unfortunately, but just off of, like, my favorite movie last year, I'm gonna have to give that one to Anora. I watched it like a week of, I think I watched it two times in like a week or maybe even less days than that, and I just think it's the movie that has stuck with me the most for the longest time, I think, and I keep coming back to it and I'm like excited to see it again. It's so good. I think what I love about it is you just, like, you're never in the same place for more than, like, 3 minutes in that movie. It's just so hectic and there's so much going on. But also, it's, like, a perfect ending. Mm-hmm. It really just, like, makes the whole, like, wild ride that you went on totally worth it. And it's just, like, it's such a beautiful ending, which I love.
Yeah, I feel like if it ended any other way, like, there would be no... No, not like payoff, but the message wouldn't be as clear. For me, oh, also, we're now joined by...
Oh, I'm here, guys. DJ Avalanche is here.
Yes, Instant Classic, if you're tuning in. My favorite movie of 2024 was Dune 2. I actually haven't seen it since we went in theaters, but... I just remember being blown away. Also, we got to the theater late, so I missed like a good like 5 minutes. But yeah, the visuals of that movie stuck with me. And of course, the soundtrack is so good. And I'm so excited for the next parts. Yeah, but Anora was my second favorite. It was really hard to choose between those two. And then everything else kind of, like, doesn't really matter. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, I think what Dune 2 would have been my second, I think, we just flipped. That movie is so good. I think they're both on Netflix now. So I am definitely going to just, I don't know, burn 6 hours of my life watching both movies because, like, the cinematography is so good in that movie. The acting, obviously, Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, and now Florence Pugh is in this one. And
what's that dude?
And who
dude?
What's his name? Is that
Austin Butler. Oh, yeah, Austin Butler. Yes.
Yeah.
What a chameleon he is in that movie.
You know, the first one doesn't, like, I don't like the first one. It's kind of all over the place, but it sets up for the second one perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one, I really wasn't a fan. So when I went to see the second one, I was kind of just like, oh, whatever. I'm kind of just seeing this to, like, see what the hype is about. But I loved the second one. And I'm not, like, a sci-fi, like, action person, really. So, yeah, they definitely won me over with that. And also, Letterboxd does this thing. It's like the Spotify rap, but for Letterboxd. So, yours isn't loading.
Mine is not
okay,
loading.
Well,
wait, how do
maybe
you get
I'll
to
do
that?
Mine.
How do you remember that?
Well, I'll just do my most watched actor and director, which is really embarrassing. My most watched actor was Timothée Chalamet. And my most watched director was Kenny Ortega. And if you don't know, Kenny Ortega does, like, all the Disney Channel movies, so I think that is why.
I think I might remember mine, but okay, I think my most watched actor was Alan Rickman, but that was because of my Harry Potter marathon. And my most watched director was Wes Craven, and that was because of my Scream marathon. So I guess it's true that those are my most watched actors and directors, but yeah, shout out to marathons. Love those.
So true. Avalanche, what was your favorite movie of last year?
Oh,
if you could choose.
It's The Substance. Easy. Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved that movie.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole time I wanted to leave, but it was so good.
No, they really like don't shy away from the graphics in that movie.
Yeah, no description or trailer can do that movie justice. Mm-hmm. You just have to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, congrats to Demi Moore for winning the Golden Globe.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful acceptance speech. If you haven't, you should.
Oh, yeah,
I'll go and see it if you like. It was very beautiful, and I mean, she did very good in that movie. Mm-hmm. It was a wild ride for sure, The Substance.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm gonna do my low light just because it's being talked about a lot. But Emilia Perez was not good, in my opinion. IMO. I did not see it in theaters. I saw it on Netflix. I don't think I would have paid money to go see it in theaters. But if anyone liked it, like, obviously, I love that. You know, your prerogative. But I do feel like as a society, as a culture, we are all being gaslit into thinking this is, like, a really good movie. And I just disagree. I think, like, why... Oh, why was it a musical, guys? Why was it a musical? It shouldn't have been a musical. And why is it getting more like praise for being a musical than Wicked? Like, I just don't understand.
Wicked, best musical.
Wicked is out too.
Yeah, like how does Emilia Perez win best musical?
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt with Problemista. It came out I think last year, but everyone loved that movie. Sometimes I think like movies get a little too weird to the point where they like lose all plot and lose all direction. So I can definitely see that. Now I want to go watch that movie and see what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love everyone's take on it, if just to see if I'm not crazy. But like, I don't know. There's so many movies where I'm like, maybe I just don't get it. It's not for me. It's not for me. And that's okay. That's okay to admit. And maybe like the awardsy people know real. They know real movie.
Yeah. They have like a secret, a secret rubric or something. Yeah.
They're like, this is cinema. Yeah. Like, this is why we do what we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, any lowlights that you guys can remember from the year?
My lowlight was the new Descendants movie. That was my last ranked movie. That movie was just really bad. And, like, don't watch it. Don't even, like, watch it to, like, see if you'll like it. You won't like it. It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. I don't know why they decide to continue that storyline, but... if you couldn't tell, like, we love Disney Channel original movies here. That was definitely my least favorite.
Let's see. Oh, my least favorite was Megalopolis.
I never saw that one.
I can't believe that I spent money to go see that movie. It's terrible. It had a lot of hype, but it's just not it. It's a fever. It's like all over the place.
I've heard like very mixed reviews about that movie. It's like either like you really love it or you hate it. And I've never seen anything in between.
No, the Letterboxd spread is crazy. Mm-hmm. I think every star rating is like equal. It's just like a flat line.
Yeah.
Because everyone who's rating it, but everyone on Letterboxd who's rating it 5 stars, it's like a sarcastic 5 stars.
Yeah.
Because it's really terrible.
Sometimes a movie can be so bad it's good. But that's very rare. All right, shall we get into talking about our movie? So we watched Superbad and Booksmart, which I had seen both of these movies before, but it's been a while. I don't know about you guys.
I actually had never seen Booksmart.
I'd also never seen Booksmart.
It's again, it's one of those movies that I'm like, well, of course I saw it. Because it was like really big. But I never watched it and I enjoyed it.
No, I think it was on my like Netflix like watch list for years. And then they took it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, they took all of these off streaming. Like Superbad was on something, at least one streaming service for like Netflix. 10 years. Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Superbad. We'll start with Superbad. Yeah. It came out first. Came out in 2007, and the story follows two inseparable best friends navigating the last weeks of high school when they are invited to a gigantic house party. Together with their nerdy friend, they spend a long day trying to score enough alcohol to supply the party and inebriate two girls. Their quest is complicated after one of them falls in with two inept cops who are determined to show him a good time. This movie is directed by Greg Mottola, starring Jonah Hill, Michael Cera, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I think that's how you say it, Seth Rogen, Bill Hader, and Emma Stone. A lot of stars in this movie. Yeah. The Emma Stone one was really surprising. I forgot about it.
Oh my gosh, she's in the movie.
Yeah, this was like a really big like breakout movie for a lot of these like actors. And yeah, this was Emma Stone's first movie ever, which is crazy.
Wait, really?
Yes, it's her first movie. Which is crazy to think how her like career has gone now. Mm-hmm.
I can see how like she would have gotten like probably Easy A after this or some movie that like
that's what I was thinking.
Those kind of movies. Yeah. Also Laura Morano being in this movie.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I should give some Laura Morano is a Disney Channel actress who was on a show called Austin and Ally that was I think very integral to a lot of people our age's life, and she played a young Becca, not a very important character, but it was fun to see her there too.
Well, for both of these movies, it took like kind of a long time for them to like start production. I think for Superbad, it was because of like the humor, because it's very edgy, like 13-year-old boy humor. But like that makes sense because Seth Rogen had actually, and his co-writer Evan Goldberg had started writing it when they were like 13, 14. And just like based off of their real life experiences, like growing up as teenage boys, which I think is so cool.
Yeah. It's such a Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah.
Like every Seth Rogen movie has the exact type of humor that's in this movie. But no, I love Superbad. I've seen it a bunch of times. Shout out Fogel. Fogel's the best.
McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin's really stood the test of time.
Oh my
gosh. Think he will forever be famous and iconic.
I think I see like a McLovin shirt like every
Target,
single day of my life.
Like at Target, they still sell them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was like insane. They had a budget of $20 million and then they made over $170 million in box office, which is insane. I'm sure the production company was very happy about that outcome, especially because I feel like they kind of took a chance on this movie. Like some of the humor could have like not landed, but I think it's really funny. I think they like really, Michael Cera and Jonah Hill, they really encapsulate like the awkwardness, and like I don't know, I love it.
Yeah, like they're just so believable as two best friends in high school who are just like really figuring themselves out. And it's because I feel like you have to buy into their friendship first to like really appreciate the comedy of it. And you feel like you're a part of the group when they're like joking and just being themselves. But then when they have their fight, it's like you're like, oh my god,
it is real.
Yeah. These two friends, like, they care about each other so much, and they're sort of still finding the tools to like express that to each other and work it out. And I mean, as we all do, like, they're still not mature yet, but there's so much love there, and it's just so, it's so beautiful to see, especially in male friendships.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't see that as much, and because they love each other, mm-hmm. and I think it was so beautiful that the scene where they're just like in Michael Cera's room and they're like under the sleeping bags and they just give each other a hug, and it's like, ugh, guys, yeah. Best friends.
Like, they pick at each other and whatever, but like at the end of the day, mm-hmm. they love each other, and they're sad that they're gonna be like split apart in this like next stage of their lives. Yeah. Also, Judd Apatow produced this too. Shout out to him. He is everywhere. And I forget that he like did Freaks and Geeks too, which Seth Rogen was on that show. Shout out Freaks and Geeks and my sociology teacher in high school who had us watch that.
That's funny.
No, but also Dave Franco was in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was. So many stars, man. Yeah,
rising crazy. Stars.
Yeah. Bill Hader and Seth Rogen together.
Oh, the best.
Are truly hilarious. Like, those cops were so incompetent but so funny, and like they were like trying to like look cool around McLovin, which is yeah. so, they're like, McLovin, look, yeah. like,
they're like, come back.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen's such a man child.
Yeah, Bill Hader was like, McLovin, no, when he ran away. Yeah.
And when they revealed that they, like, knew that he was underage the whole time. So funny. Oh, my gosh.
No, and McLovin thinks he's so cool because mm-hmm. he's with these cops, mm-hmm. but the cops are just,
like, his age, basically. Yeah. That's how they act. Yeah, but I really do appreciate Superbad. Mm-hmm. I really do appreciate it. Just for, like, I feel like a lot of the, like, more coming of age, like, teenage movies of that time were, like, very toned down, and, like, all the teenagers are, like, so well behaved. Like, you have, like, a Cinderella story, A Walk to Remember, like, so, like, kind of cheesy and just soft, but this movie really, like, punches you.
This is more, it's really more, it's more real. Obviously, yeah. It's hyperbolized to an extent, mm-hmm. but, like, they're not just two guys trying to get a girlfriend. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah. And Michael Cera's character is kind of like a feminist icon. Yeah. He was like, snaps, like, shout out to him, because he was like, I don't want to take advantage. Yeah. Like, he really stepped up, mm-hmm. which, and trust, Michael Cera will run in a movie. My goodness. His run is second to none, I think. it's so lanky, but it's so like militaristic, yeah. almost, you know,
track star in, yeah, Juno.
Exactly. He yes. will run in every movie.
I love Michael Cera. I just love him. He like has this energy that I really appreciate. Yeah, anything else, you guys? Any last words on Superbad?
I don't think so.
Great movie. Okay, well then we can move on to Booksmart. Academic achievers Amy and Molly thought keeping their noses to the grindstone gave them a leg up on their high school peers. But on the eve of graduation, the best friends suddenly realized that they may have missed out on the special moments of their teenage years. Determined to make up for lost time, the girls decide to cram 4 years of not-to-be-missed fun into one night, a chaotic adventure that no amount of book smarts could prepare them for. This movie was directed by Olivia Wilde, her directorial debut, starring Beanie Feldstein, Caitlin Dever, Molly Gordon. This movie, I was surprised at how actually really similar it was to Superbad, like,
yeah, it was
the
really
premise.
Similar.
And Beanie Feldstein and Jonah Hill being siblings is so silly. like, that's such a connection. But what did we think about Booksmart?
I saw this movie, I think, in 2019, like, when it came out. I didn't really have many thoughts. Then I think I saw this before I saw Superbad, which is interesting. But I really enjoyed this movie. I think like some movies about this generation can be like annoying. Well, because we're all three of us are Gen Z.
Yeah.
But I think like they did a good job of showing how like our generation kind of retaliates against like things that are external pressures and like political climates and like the actual climate. And you have like these, you kind of see more of the cliques in this movie, which is interesting. And I love Billie Lourd's character, her character and the other dude. I forget what his name is, but her like best friend in it. They are so crazy in this movie. And I think that was a highlight for me for sure.
Yeah, no, I liked books. I'd never seen it before. It felt, see, I agree. It didn't feel like it comes from 2019. Mm-hmm. It feels like it comes from like the same time as Superbad, mm-hmm. like early 2000s. You know, the friendship in it felt more real, mm-hmm. but it actually reminded, have you guys seen Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle?
No.
Oh, you should watch it. It's really funny. It kind of felt like a girl's version of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Like they're just out all night going on different side quests, trying to have the time of their life. Mm-hmm. But I thought their big fight was, it was crazy because I feel like they pointed out each other's flaws, but it wasn't like fabricated. Mm-hmm. Like they were real. And they were being stubborn and not accepting those parts about themselves. Mm-hmm. But when their friendship was at stake, they like came to their senses, mm-hmm. and it was sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the scene at the end of the movie where at the airport is so beautiful and so real. The first part where it's like they're both sitting in the car and it's really awkward. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, okay, like, I'll see you. Like, okay, bye. Like, I've experienced that. Like, going off to college, like, with my friends and, like, after every break, it's like, okay, we're still going to be friends after this. And, like, I'm not going to get super emotional. But, like, this is sad, but I don't want to admit this. And you're like, all right, bye.
Like, that literally happened to me, like, over break. I said bye to, like, one of my best friends. Shout out Sienna. And we were like, we didn't know what to do with each other. I was just like, I think we like side hugged and I was like, bye. I was like, this is sad. Like, see you.
Because you're also always in a car and it's really tricky to say goodbye to someone when you're in a car because it's like, is it?
Do you get out?
Do we get out?
But get then out. It's like, I'd get out.
Well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's like, all right, like, see you next break. And it's like, yeah, it's like a side hug that's uncomfortable over like the center console. Yeah. But it was just, I was like, okay, I see myself in that so mm-hmm. deeply. But also another thing that was so relatable is like the drama kids at the beginning. Giving a speech to the whole class about some production they're putting on that's like ruining some classic that everyone loves and it's like in some classroom or like some weird location like and they're really into it and they go
like
to
Shakespeare in the parking lot.
Yeah, Shakespeare in the
oh my
parking
god
lot.
I had Shakespeare in the parking lot in middle school. Yeah,
no,
in 7th and 8th grade we had Shakespeare in the parking lot.
Like they love to give like a promotion in front of the class. They go to every single one and sometimes you're lucky you get two if they catch you in two different class periods. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was very real as well.
Yeah. This movie had a lot of like relatableness in it. Yeah, I feel like their friendship, you can really believe that they're friends. And they actually, Caitlin and Beanie had lived together during the filming of this movie.
Oh, wow.
Which I think that would make them pretty close. Yeah, and this movie was also, like, mostly filmed at night, so they were kind of on, like, a crunch. But, yeah, directorial debut by Olivia Wilde. And then she went on to make Don't Worry, Darling, which is a whole nother thing.
We could, a whole nother episode. Don't Worry, Darling. But she can always say that this was her directorial debut and that everyone will be like, that was a good movie. But Jason Sudeikis also was really good in the movie.
Yeah, he's the principal.
The principal, principal slash Uber driver.
Principal, not principal.
Yeah, that was fun to see him. Also,
I also like that in this movie they are never competing with each other. Like the two leads, they're never competing with each other, which I feel like is a common thing in coming of age movies with like female leads. But they like genuinely love each other, and you can really see that, and I appreciate that.
Molly's definitely the girl who ruins the curve for all the tests.
She is a self-proclaimed curve breaker.
Yeah, she is this. No, and then she, when she learns that all of the people got into schools like Ivy Leagues.
Okay,
by
another
just
thing. This
why is everyone in this school going to an Ivy?
Like everyone, like Dartmouth, Stanford, Yale, Harvard. Like, okay, smarties. Like
it's always the people you like wouldn't suspect, and they're like going to work at Google and stuff. Especially in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, but I just think that was definitely funny, the Ivy League. Everyone's at an Ivy, but good for them, I guess.
Yeah, this guy like on his skateboard propelling himself with a fire extinguisher. I got into Stanford. Yeah.
I really have the guy Nick who Beanie Feldstein's character was like in love with. I actually dislike him with a passion. Yeah. I mean, because literally my first note was like, oh my God, Nick's being so flirty. Yeah. Like he likes her. And then the next scene, I was like, I hate Nick. Yeah. I hate Nick. He's, what a horrible man that was.
I feel like that's so real.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the realest. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. Just like a beautiful movie all around. Their friendship is so beautiful, and like there's a lot of movies, there's more movies I think than depicting male friendships that depict female friendships, but a lot of them are like catty and not really fun to watch, but this one was so real. And I you believe they're friends, you believe they're best friends that love each other, that are ride or die, and that was what
off of a Glenda.
Oh.
Now we're besties, ride or die.
Okay. On that note, that was our first episode back from the winter break, instant classic. Yeah, we have not picked out a movie for...
We gotta get on it, guys.
It'll be a surprise. We'll be back in not next week, but the week after. So tune in if you'd like. Yeah, really fun show, guys. And I'm excited for the next movies we're going to watch.
Whatever they may be.
You'll just have to tune in and see.
Yeah.
All right. Twice. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm a poet. Okay.
Bye.
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 Engineering or physical science majors? Need help finding a job? The Internship and Career Center can help. Come down to 210 South Hall for assistance with AggieTracks, resumes, cover letters, finding jobs online, and prepping for interview questions. For more information, please call 530-752-2819 or go to www.icc.ucdavis.edu.